Howdy, folks, and welcome to the May 9th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm Uncle Bill, and I'm back, believe it or not.
He's back once again. 2 weeks in a row.
I'm back, and I'm better than ever, and I got a knack for making things better.
You better face facts, because your opinions don't matter.
So anyway, yeah, we were just talking about what we were going to do on this show, and as usual, we have no fucking idea. Because nobody else knows what's going on in the world of horror either.
So, yeah, I mean, what we're going to do is basically do the news and just rant and rave for about a half an hour or so. And then the next segment, we are going to take your phone calls. And I think the B-Plan is going to be on board for that. But something that I wanted to touch on before we get into the news, and we will be promoting this every week, until the fall to see, you know, how much we can generate to make this happen for you guys. Months and months, years actually, people have wanted to hear the old Dead Pit episodes. Now this is Dead Pit all the way back to 2005 was the very first episode. And people, you know, they want to know how can they hear it because, you know, due to server costs and just the massive amount of space that is, I mean, that's nearly 10 years worth of radio shows. So new Dead Pit website's going to be debuting in the fall. I thought it would be perfect time to make all those episodes available for you guys, but that's if we can get you guys to donate, at least cover some of the costs on our end for putting all these audio shows back up. Now, you got to think, again, this is 10 years worth of radio shows pretty much every week. So this is hundreds of Dead Pit shows that's going to be on the site. So there's going to be a link that you will be able to click on and donate from here until probably September. And, you know, we appreciate anything you could donate, as always, and show your support.
Yeah, this is probably the most common question that we always get asked is, like, how can we hear the old shows and where the old shows and things like that? So I think the original idea was to put up a premium website where you could access all that for a fee, like a monthly fee kind of thing. But I think that this is a pretty good idea. It's like a Kickstarter campaign to see if it'll actually work.
Yeah, without giving Kickstarter any money because, you know.
No, we don't want to give anybody any money except us. Yeah. That's the goal.
So, I mean, the way this is going to work is based on, you know, the donations we get, depending on if we get enough donations to actually support this thing, we will put all the shows up on this new website. And, you know, we've needed a new website for a while, and I'm really going to, with this thing and some of the people on Dead Pit's inner circle have kind of seen a very early version of the website. What I wanted to do with this website is go back to just the basics, and make it really easy to navigate. I'm going to have a mobile version of the Dead Pit site that works. It's going to end up working great, you know. So I figured what better time to do that than, you know, this fall coming up on our, I guess, 9-year anniversary of the first show. So I thought it'd be a good idea. And, you know, there's going to be some other new things up there. Like we were talking about last week, we're going to shake things up a little bit. You may be hearing, you know, or seeing daily things on there or whatever for a little bit to kickstart the new website. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of interesting things to discuss, you know, over the next coming months with that website. So, yeah, it'll be on the main page of the site. Check it out and donate, if you will.
And one of the things, though, I think about the old site, too, that a lot of people commented on was the message board and stuff, which eventually kind of went down. But honestly, like, that message board became basically just a fucking big drama-filled
That's true.
Bunch of bullshit. And Facebook killed off the need for message boards anyway. Nobody really uses message boards because of Facebook pages, which is pretty much where we do all the stuff that we do now.
But that's true, but you don't even have Facebook anymore, so maybe you'd want to be the person in charge of the message board if we were to bring it back.
Actually, that'd be the last thing in the fucking world I'd want to do. I think that'd be crazy. That'd be asking, hey, you want to be in charge of getting kicked in the nuts every day for like the next year? Yeah. No, I'm cool with it.
So yeah, I mean, that's probably the one of the big things, the website, website related that I wanted to touch on. And, it's just, honestly, the premium site that we'd worked on a little bit, I honestly, I got to thinking, and I was like, I'm not going to have time to fuck with all this shit. You know, I mean, that's just a lot of work. And, yeah, we probably would have made a little bit of money doing that, but at the end of the day, it probably wasn't enough money to be worth quite the headache that was going to cause. So I think it would be best to just make it all available for you guys, if we can just get the costs of everything taken care of, and it's not going to break us up putting all that stuff back up there.
Okay.
But anyway, we might as well get into some of the news this week, because there's some interesting stuff to talk about. I don't know if you've kept up with all the latest news of the week, but I mean, around this time of year is when things really start to pick up a little bit, horror news wise. And one of the big topics, it comes from HalloweenMovie.com. And they, were talking about Halloween 3, or what they're calling Halloween 3D. And, they're saying that no writers or directors are presently attached, but the Weinstein Company are interested in getting this thing going again. And as it turns out, later news came out that Scout Taylor Compton is reprising the role of Laurie Strode in Halloween 3D. Now, I'm surprised at this news simply because Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 was released, 4 or 5 years ago now?
Yeah. I'm surprised that, I'm not that surprised that she took that job, though, because she hadn't done anything else that I know of.
Right. Well, I mean, she's not really doing a whole lot of anything, but I'm just surprised that they are sticking, and I'm not exactly entirely against it, to be honest. I'd rather see Halloween 3 than a reboot of the entire thing again, which seems to be kind of the trend.
Saying that Rob Zombie will be directing it?
Not yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were to get him back. But I don't know. I mean, it seemed to really not be that into even making the first sequel, but money talks, as we know.
I just wonder, yeah, it does kind of make you interested in how he would do it. Okay, because the first one was much more like a remake, like trying to remake the first Halloween, the original, towards the end, with a little bit of a backstory. The second one was like a complete clusterfuck of just stuff that he tried to do to piss off the studio. I just wonder what this one would be. Would it be like a straight-up kind of movie like he did the first time, or would it be like another just gore-fest kind of thing?
I have no idea. We will have to see. I think it's a good idea for them to continue with the franchise. I mean, let's face facts. The Michael Myers films, they're never going to end. You know, there's always going to be more Michael Myers films. But in this case, I'm glad that they're kind of continuing with whatever they had started with the previous two films, rather than a lot of these franchises just completely starting over again. You know?
Yeah, it's better than like trying to do a found footage film or some shit like that, like they're doing, trying to do Friday 13th or trying to restart a whole franchise.
Yeah.
Like you said, I'd rather see just a straight sequel too at this point. I don't think that could, I mean, it's not going to be any worse than the second one anyway, no matter what he does.
That's true. Especially the, you know, something that I picked up recently on Vudu, just because, I had the Blu-ray of the unrated version of part two, which is horrible, by the way. Like both versions are bad, but the unrated director's cut version of part two is fucking unbelievably shitty. Like, it's even worse than the theatrical by far. But I did pick up the theatrical version on Vudu. So, probably later on this year, around Halloween time, I may try to revisit that. Because I honestly remember that really one of the only things I enjoyed about that film was the ending. Because it kind of left you wondering, what did I fucking see? You know?
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, there was nothing that redeeming about that film. But the unrated version completely did away with that ending and all that, so.
Yeah, they had like three different endings to the movie, if I remember. And the only one that was actually worth a shit was the original Laurie Strode ending, not to give anything away. But, yeah, and then there were some other ones that you were just kind of like, what the fuck? But there's one where he speaks.
Yeah.
Which is.
Yeah, that was the unrated. That was the unrated Blu-ray version. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'm glad that they're moving forward, like I said, with this. Another sequel. They're actually working on two more part threes. This is hilarious. Sharknado 3 is coming out a full 3 months. Actually, the news of this coming out is just predates the sequel, which debuts on Sci-Fi on July 30th. So they're already working on Sharknado 3. We can look forward to that. I actually never finished the first Sharknado. I couldn't. It was fucking horrible. So,
it is horrible, but it's horrible in the same way that like Birdemic is horrible too.
Well, maybe if you had a crowd, maybe if you were watching that movie with a group of people, but I was watching it by myself and I was like, fuck this. I just couldn't get into it.
It's just, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I've seen it a couple of times. It's a modern,
piece of shit.
Piece of shit. Yeah, but it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a Troll 2 piece of shit, though.
Another one that's funny that's coming out is, and this comes out of nowhere, Joyride 3.
You know what's funny about this, though, is I'm pretty sure in this one, like, the two leads are both women. So it's like.
Are they lesbians?
That's what I was going to say. They're capitalizing on the exploitation, lesbian, slasher angle in this particular film.
They actually got Ken Kersinger to play Rusty Nail in this movie.
straight off the fucking convention circuit. Right into this.
So, and I see this movie, honestly, this is another, this will be $5, probably debut $5 at Walmart.
I see this movie's going to win a lot of awards amongst the the Rusty Nail fans, yeah.
Let's see here. Scream Factory, they recently released, and I gotta give this credit. I give him credit, even though we talked a lot of shit about this guy. This artwork he did for Pumpkinhead Collector's Edition, that's one of the best covers that they've ever had, I think. I really think that he did a great job, and I'm talking about Justin Osborne, who I don't know if he cut and pasted, whatever, how the hell he ever did it.
That's what I was,
but it looks fucking cool. I'll give him credit on this one.
It does. Yeah, I'm like looking at it too, and I like the way he did it. I just you can't help but wonder after all that stuff. Every time you see this, like, where is there a poster that has a shit on it?
Yeah. it is what it is. I mean, the. You know, I was told stories that, you know, after all that stuff came out about him, that he was, like, very, very, like, depressed. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, that shit come out about him. At the end of the day, it doesn't seem like anybody really cared. So, you know, whatever.
No, they usually don't, no.
No.
I'm just interested in the release itself, though, because I think Pumpkinhead's one of those really, really... It's not really underrated, but it's not talked about that much, you know?
Right.
Like, just a lot of people don't bring it up, and I think that's because it's a monster movie, and monster movies don't get talked about as much as, like, slasher films, especially, like, re-releases or things like that either. Like, everybody, for some reason, always wants shit like Final Exam to come back out, and I have no fucking idea why, but nobody talks about monster films like that anymore.
Yeah, I think Pumpkinhead, it's a... You know, it's one of those weird films that it's a monster film. it's set around Halloween. You know, you don't see a whole lot, and it's got a you don't see a whole lot of films like that. It's got a great atmosphere throughout the, and I think it was the only film that Stan Winston ever directed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Stan Winston's only film that I know of, yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing, I'm looking forward to watching it again, too. And oddly enough, like, what I would have done, and this would have been cool for me, if they would have done this, Scream Factory's also coming out with the Blu-ray of Pumpkinhead 2 Blood Wings on the collector's edition of that. That movie, in my opinion, would be a good special feature for the Pumpkinhead Blu-ray. That's what I would have done. I wouldn't have, you know, because it's Pumpkinhead 2 Blood Wings. I mean, that movie sucks. Let's be honest. Like, that's, you know, I just don't see. I understand. I know why they did it, because Scream Factory's making a fucking fortune on the horror fans. I mean, they are. You know, they're charging $24, $25 a Blu-ray, and they're getting it. People are buying this shit day one, you know. So I can't blame them, I guess, but it's just.
They could have made it a two-pack, though. You know, I mean, they just, like a double feature kind of. They did that with, like, Scanners and some of those shit.
Yeah, well, the only problem with that is, though, Pumpkinhead's kind of a legendary movie. Or not legendary, but, I mean, it deserves its own release, and I don't think Pumpkinhead 2 does. I mean, Pumpkinhead 2 would be good in a double feature, but not with, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you could do a special edition of Pumpkinhead and just release, like, a shitty version of Pumpkinhead 2 in the same thing, the same, like, two-pack. It's like, it doesn't have to be its own separate release, which I don't really understand that either.
Yeah. I mean, the Scream Factory, and we talk about this all the time. I mean, I think that they made a mistake last year by coming out with so much stuff, just back to back to back to back. And they've got some great titles coming up. But
yeah, they got like Sleepaway Camp coming out, and then this, and then oh God, there was another one that's really big too. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff, really cool stuff coming out.
Yeah. But I mean, they've got a lot of shitty stuff coming out too. I mean, Ravenous Man, I mean, I don't care about that shit. Like, honestly,
That's got a cult following, though. I don't know. I've never paid that much attention to it, but I know it does have a following.
I mean, there's a few. But especially since Scream Factory, when they came out, it was almost like, yeah, we're just going to focus on 80s horror films. And they've got, like, Lake Placid coming out, and I don't know, Final Exam and stuff like that. I don't know how much of a following those movies have.
I do think Final Exam has a following, unfortunately, but I mean, there's everything has a following now. That's a very small following. Speaking of having small followings and whatnot, though, the Maniac Cop remake's another thing that's getting ready to come out. Have you heard about this? This is going to be legendary.
I haven't.
So apparently, a group called Wild Bunch, which is a DVD releasing company, I think, is interested in remaking the film. It says Nicholas Winding Refn is producing the remake, and the screenplay has been written by Ed Brubaker.
Down that long, winding Refn.
The new film's director, it hasn't been announced yet, but they're going to be financed out of pocket by the actual company. I don't know if Maniac Cop needs a remake, or anybody ever asked for Maniac Cop to be remade, but that doesn't seem to stop anybody these days.
That's true. Yeah, you know, the thing about Maniac Cop, I like Maniac Cop, but the film really, in my opinion, falls downhill with the parade scene. Like, parades in movies suck. I fucking hate parades. Anyway. Like, have you noticed that? Like, anytime, any movie I see with a parade in it, I just want to turn it off.
Even Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. Like,
that's got a parade in it.
Whenever you have the parade scene, I'm done with the movie. I'm like, no.
That's such an odd thing to hate.
I just can't stand it. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I fucking hate parades anyway, and then I don't know why anybody would waste their time filming a parade scene. I just don't get it. I hate parades.
Next thing you're going to be like, I hate fucking rainbows.
No, but like a parade scene in a movie, I don't know. I've always hated that. So,
okay,
that's just me.
Okay. One thing about it, though, that this kind of goes along with there being a parade, and I don't like, though, I will agree on this, I don't like end sequences to horror films that happen in the daytime. I don't think that's a good...
Yeah, it's kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, because you just can't create any kind of atmosphere around something that happens during the day, like when, especially if there's a lot of people around. You don't really feel threatened like it is
You don't see that a whole lot, though. I don't really, you know, there's not too many horror films that's like that kind of end in the day. I mean, there's a few.
I think there's a reason for that, too, yeah.
Yeah, the daytime's not that scary.
Well, the nighttime is the right time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What we're going to do right now, though, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more remake news that'll make everybody excited, more DVD and Blu-ray news as well. So we will be back after this quick commercial break here on deadbit.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposite, he's busy cranking out some of the most high quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life, this is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel.
Zach the Director, William Bowler, and you are with Dead Pit Radio.
Howdy, folks. Welcome back to the show. We're right in the middle of the news portion. That's my portion. I don't deal with all the bullshit like Steve.
You don't have to share Steve.
Yeah, I don't share well.
We actually got some interesting stuff here, though. Synapse Films, Uncle Bill, bringing out the 1983 slasher film Curtains to DVD and Blu-ray on July the 8th. A group of women gather for a weekend casting call at the secluded mansion of director Jonathan Stryker, played by John Vernon. He's searching for the perfect woman to play the role of a crazed character, Audra, and these women are just dying for the chance to play her. Stryker's last star, Samantha Sherwood, played by Samantha Egger, is so determined to get the part, she committed herself to an asylum to prepare for the role. Unfortunately for all, a crazed killer in a disgusting hag mask, is viciously murdering everyone one by one. Who will survive the final curtain call?
There's a couple of things about this movie that it has going for it, though. John Vernon, for one.
Right.
Amazing actor. He was in a lot of really great films, including Savage Street, which I think that's like his best exploitation role. Also, though, Samantha Egger was in The Brood, and she did a really good job in that. It's an old Cronenberg movie. But the other thing it has going for it is Synapse.
That's true.
Don May and his goddamn 2K high-definition transfers.
That's crazy. I mean, that's the thing. Like, when Don May, you know, and I'm glad they're finally starting to get films like this, instead of, like, you know, shit like Luck or the Necrophagist or whatever. Like, they're going after films that can actually be restored. And I can guarantee you, Curtains, this is probably the best that film has ever looked. I'm pretty sure on opening night 1983, it didn't look as good as this Blu-ray is going to look.
No, and the funny thing about him too is that if you're on his Facebook, he releases like clips of the restoration process.
Yeah.
So you get to see like clips of what it looks like now, which is amazing.
Yeah. And you know, he's a member of Team Voodoo Sickness.
Oh God.
So yeah. You got to put Don
sure
May over for that.
Voodoo HD group. Yeah.
But some of the features that's going to be on here, of course, we talked about the film's getting a 2K high-def transfer with a 5.1 surround mix, specifically created for the release. Some of the features include the Ultimate Nightmare making of curtains, an all-new retrospective featuring interviews with director Richard Kupra, who was the... What? Directs his other night. Hey, I don't know. I'm confused here for a second. Forget about that. Stars, Leslie Donaldson, Lynn Griffin, editor Michael McLeverty, and makeup effects creator Greg Canham, and composer Paul Zaza, who I think Paul Zaza did some music for Sleepaway Camp.
Huh. I
as well.
Didn't know that, though. Yeah.
Audio commentaries, with stars Leslie Donaldson and Lynn Griffin, audio interview with producer Peter R. Simpson, and audio interview with star Samantha Egger, and also includes a theatrical trailer. And like we said, this is coming out July the 8th, so it's not too far from now.
I'm glad, though, that Synapse is getting a hold of some really, really quality releases here coming soon. And didn't he get an Argento one recently, too?
He got Suspiria.
Yeah, and that's freaking huge, but that's what I like, though. I like a company like Synapse to get a hold of these kind of films because it's better than certain other companies, who I won't name, that you know are going to release something half-assed that's going to look like shit.
And you're going to pay a premium price for that shit.
Yeah, you're going to pay out the ass for it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand, like, Mill Creek or somebody like that. But they're going to release, it's going to look like shit, but they're going to charge you nothing for it. It's not like, you know, but they're like, some of their releases look like Mill Creek stuff, but you're paying $25 for it, you know. So, there's that.
I'm hoping that this one actually has the, has audio commentary with somebody that's in Italian with no subtitles. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that's always fun when that happens.
So I wonder.
Yeah.
I was going to say, though, one of the other big stories, I guess, recently is about the third entry into the VHS series. Did you hear about this yet?
I saw something. I didn't read any details about it, though. What was the story of that?
I mean, I think we both pretty much agree. The first one was pretty good, had a good idea, and had, like, a pretty consistent story. The second VHS, was it had a hit and miss, but mostly misses. So this one is called VHS Viral, and it's by Epic Pictures Group, is going to be trying to get this marketed through the Cannes Film Festival, or Cannes, I don't know how the fuck you pronounce it, something like that. Set to feature segments from directors Todd Lincoln, who did The Apparition, I love this guy's name, Nacho Vigalondo, who did a movie
Nacho,
called Time
You know, his middle name is Supreme.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nacho Supreme Vigalondo.
Right.
Marcel Cimento, who did Dead Girl, which is
Bacalala.
A lot of pictures. Greg Bishop, who did Dance of the Dead, and co-directors Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. The film, is that seriously his name?
That's killer. Oh, he resides from Moorhead, Kentucky.
The film is said to focus on fame-obsessed teens who unwittingly become stars of the next internet sensation. You knew it was going to go to that point at some same time.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what to think about this, to be honest. I mean, VHS 2 sucked, I thought. There's a couple, there's like one or maybe two decent scenes in VHS 2, but, I mean, I heard so many people go on about how much better VHS 2 was than VHS 1, and I disagree. completely. But I mean, maybe the VHS viral can be a better, I think it's a great idea, you know, and it really plays to that VHS audience a little bit. You know, VHS, all the hipsters are collecting it now. You know, all the kids that were born in like 1996, they're big collectors of VHS now for some reason.
Yeah, I can't figure that out either. It just, as far as the talent go involved in the films, it seems to progressively be getting worse, though. Like, I've maybe heard of two of those guys that are associated with the new one. I've heard of everybody associated with, like, the first and second one.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll wait and see. like I said, I don't expect a whole lot with it, but it is what it is, I guess.
It was a good idea, though. I mean, it's just kind of being watered down every time.
Yeah.
They make another one.
Definitely. Evil Dead remake sequel. Here's what director Fede Alvarez had to say about it. He says, Sam Bruce and Rob Tappert and I are good friends. We talk to each other often, and we're always coming up with new ideas and projects. Sam is teasing Army of Darkness 2, which he's working on the script with his brother, but at the same time, Evil Dead 2 is something we definitely want to do at some point. But part of the reason I think the last one was successful is because Sam took his time to find the right team of people to do it. We took the time to find the right script and all that. He says if you had Evil Dead 2 coming out the following year, it's just for the market because you've not found the right idea. It takes time to find the right idea, and that's what we're doing. He says it's always in the background and always in our heads, and every time I talk with Sam, we're bouncing around ideas to find out what would be the perfect sequel. So, Fede is all about doing more Evil Dead films. He just wants to wait for the right time, the right ideas, all that, so he does it right.
Yeah. This is a weird movie for me because, like, the first time that I saw it, I hated it. And the second time I saw it, I didn't like it. The third time I watched it, I started to like it. And by, like, the fourth time, I really, really kind of formed some sort of weird new appreciation for it. And I still really don't know why. Like, I don't know what it is about that movie that makes it work.
I think what I liked about it when I watched it in the theater was it had a vibe of what new horror films could be. If they, you know, if directors and studios grew balls, it did things that horror films should be able to do in a theater, you know, and get away with. And I just love the cinematography of it. I love the soundtrack and just the craziness of it all. The blood, it was actually raining blood in the scene in the movie, I remember. So I think the reason I liked it so much is it showed me what the horror genre could be like if Hollywood would let them actually do it. And they did for this movie, so.
I think the weird part about it for me, though, was that I liked every part of the movie that wasn't like the original Evil Dead. And, like, when they tried to do the stuff that was like Evil Dead, I think it came off really, really kind of hokey. Like, when she was doing all the stuff, like, that, like the women were doing in the original Evil Dead, when she was doing all the lines and all the crazy stuff, and when she was locked in the cellar and all that, I thought that just came across as silly. But everything else, like all of the new stuff, like all of the action sequences and the gore sequences, that all came across really, really good. But I think that's kind of what was wrong with Halloween. Like if he would have just, I'm talking about Rob Zombie's Halloween, if he would have just stuck to what he was doing and not even tried to fuck with like going back to the original film, it probably would have been a lot better of a movie. It was only when he did that it all fell apart. Same thing with that movie, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I know there was a few scenes that was kind of an homage from those films, but, you know, as far as remakes go, Evil Dead didn't bother me at all as far as being a remake. I mean, I think that it was kind of its own film in a lot of ways. You know, it didn't really rely on much of anything from, you know, I mean, there's some similar shots and scenes, but they kind of went I don't know. It was truly a reimagining of the story, really. I mean, it just...
Yeah.
That was one that I can truly say, you know, didn't really rely on. And it was smart on their part, because Bruce Campbell is that character. You can't recreate another... You can't bring a new actor in there and make another Ash. You just can't... It can't happen. It's the same thing with Freddy. You know, it just didn't work.
That's what I was thinking. That's exactly what came to mind.
Yeah. I mean, and they were smart to realize that, hey, we're just going to bring a new group of kids in there, and it's going to be its own thing. So, but like I was saying, I really enjoyed the movie, and I wish that we could see more straight up, just, you know, kind of offensively gory horror movies. I don't know
why. It was that, and that was probably the best part about it, is that it didn't even make any attempt to be PC or like to even really get an R rating. It didn't look like.
Oh no. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of those movies that I'll watch it's one of the few new horror films that I'll probably watch every couple years or something. You know, I could see myself around Halloween time checking it out again. You know, like I do with all the other Evil Dead films. So,
but, yeah, it's enough of a new film that it's not really a remake, really, and it's not really hard to watch. And it is a movie that I think gets better over time, and if you watch it enough times too.
That's a great Blu-ray too. If you have the Blu-ray, that's an amazing Blu-ray.
Never really gets old, somehow or another.
But anyway, do you have any more news and any of that shit to talk about?
I don't really have anything. Not really anything else going on in the world of horror films right now.
Well, what in the hell's gotten into you, Aaron or Uncle Bill?
Yeah.
So I guess last thing. Well, let's see if anything's coming out theatrically. Or on DVD Blu-ray over the next week or so. I'll look on here while we're doing this live. It's almost like a live show.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while. I had to have any kind of release or anything.
Yeah, I don't think much is coming out, though. May the 13th. Let's see if any horror stuff's coming out. 15 titles. They have a lot of Godzilla stuff coming out. I know Godzilla King of the Monsters is coming out. On DVD, and Evil Speak. Actually, some of these Scream Factory titles are coming out on Blu-ray. Evil Speak and Final Exam.
I've never seen Evil Speak, but that's got Clint Howard in it, so I'm going to watch it.
I hear good things about it. But yeah, I mean, just a lot of really cheap shit. Other than that, got some Santo movies. There's a movie called Bad Mouth, which is interesting. There's a movie called Zombinator. What in the fuck, really? The Zombinator? Oh, God. He's fucking stupid.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. But, yeah. And there's a movie called Piggy coming out. That could be good. It's like a killer pig movie. I'll tell you one that I got on Vudu, though, that I'm wanting to check out, that I got today from a friend of the show. And anybody that's interested in sending me Vudu codes, you can do that, too. Devil's Do. I got that one today.
Oh,
so
God.
I want to check that one out.
I'm sorry that you have to. I know you're going to watch that, and I apologize in advance. That's truly shitty.
It's not enjoyable?
No.
Not at all. Shit.
Speaking of something not being enjoyable, I could talk about this for a minute since we don't have any real other news stories. Went and saw Oculus. Like, this has been a while back, but I don't know. Oculus is a killer mirror movie. I don't know how many people are aware of that. That's a unique subgenre of films. There's only been two or three I can think of that have been about killer mirrors.
Killer mirrors?
Yeah. Oh, with Mirrors 1 and 2.
Yeah, you had Mirrors 2 Reflections.
Yeah. Dude, this is single-handedly, that movie was one of the most depressing movies, and the depressing end to a movie that I've seen in a long time. And the funny thing about it is, it had a really, you would never think this by the title or what it was, you know, the previews or anything, but had a really promising start, had a good cast in it, and the acting was really good, and it started off really well. By the end of it, you're just like, my God. First of all, nothing's really happened in like the last hour. And second of all, like, it's one of the, that seems to be the pattern right now with horror films in Hollywood. They make these really fucking like uber depressing endings that are supposed to be, I guess, I don't know if they look at it like it's cutting edge or if it's supposed to be like, I don't know. Like
artsy.
Avant-garde or something, but it's just, that's why people don't want to see these type of movies, because they, you go out of there feeling like you sit in a fucking open grave for 2 hours.
One that I checked out, and I've actually got the case still here. I got this at a pawn shop, Uncle Bill. And I want to check this out at some point soon. It's a Scream Factory title that I got for $1 at a pawn shop. And it was one of their independent films. So if anybody can give me any feedback on this, this is called Dead Souls, is the name of this movie. And it actually has an interesting plot. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
On his 18th birthday, Johnny Petrie learns that he was adopted when he inherits a farm in Maine. Eager for a new life, he leaves home to start over in this new dwelling. But soon he learns that the farm, abandoned for the 18 years since his natural family died, has a horrifying history. As he digs into his path, baby...
Yeah.
He discovers the grisly details of his family's deaths and the questionable teachings of his father, who'd been a local preacher. He also discovers that decades-old forces trapped in the home have revived and set into motion a heart-stopping ritual prompted by his return to the fold.
Holy shit.
Bill Moseley's in it, so it's going to be awesome.
He discovers that Jason Voorhees is growing marijuana on his farm.
But, you know, it's one of those deals. I frequent the pawn shops on a semi-regular basis, just looking around. And I was kind of surprised to see a Scream Factory. It's a DVD, but it was $1. So, I was going to get it. So if it's any good, let me know. And I'll watch it. Might review it for you motherfuckers. But anyway... Well, I believe that's it for the news, don't you?
I think so, and I don't know. It wasn't that bad of a news section. I mean, it's pretty much status quo right now. A lot of remakes coming out, a lot of Scream Factory stuff coming out. That's pretty much been the state of the genre for the last couple of years, I think.
That's true, but I mean, at least we've got that. We ain't got much shit coming out in the theaters, but...
No.
Anyway, I guess we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to switch it over to the B-side, the B-plan. And we're going to be taking some phone calls and all that good stuff.
You're going to bust somebody's ass.
Yeah, and you're going to be wearing khaki pants while you do a little dance.
Nice.
So, Uncle Bill, appreciate you joining me. 2 weeks in a row, buddy. See if we can make it to week 3 in a row next week.
You never know what will happen. The only thing that's for sure is that nothing's for sure.
When it comes to Uncle Bill, that's true. Well, the only thing that's for sure is khaki pants and doing a little dance in them.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
So we will be back after this quick break here on DeadBeer.com. Howdy folks, it's Creepy Kentuckian here. Have you ever seen those ultraviolet or voodoo codes included with the newest DVD or Blu-ray releases? If you're not using them, I can. You can send them to me via email at wesvance@gmail.com. That's wesvance@gmail.com. Or you can just send me a private message on Facebook. If you want to send me an image,
or type out the code. Either one will work, and I would greatly appreciate it. With thousands upon thousands of physical copies in my collection, I simply don't have the space to buy movies anymore. So with the help of you guys, I can see the latest releases without having them take up room at Deadpit headquarters. I will accept any movie and any voodoo credit you have, you can email my way. Once again, that's WESVANCE@gmail.com, WesVance@gmail.com, or on Facebook, private message me. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Because of the grisly subject matter presented in the motion picture, Night of the Zombies, no person under 17 years of age will be allowed in the theater unless they are accompanied by a parent or certified adult guardian. Night of the Zombies will be shown in its uncut version, and certain scenes may be quite shocking to some people. Again, we repeat, no one under 17 years of age will be admitted to Night of the Zombies unless they are accompanied by a parent or certified adult guardian.
Rack City bitch, rack city bitch. 10, 10, 10, 20s on your titties, bitch. 100 deep, VIP, no guest list. TT dog, you don't know who you fucking with. Got my other bitch, fucking with my other bitch. Fucking all night, nigga, we ain't sell a bit. Mix Sam too dope, I ain't selling it. Bar fresher than a motherfucking peppermint. The gold letter man's last king.
Hi, this is Dave Early from Dawn of the Dead, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. Creepy Kentuckian now here with
the Paul Roma of Dead Pit, the B plan.
Paul Wood. I like that. I like that, Steve.
Great.
You have some good ones every once in a while.
Yeah, I save them up, pull them out as I need them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like you pull your Peter out of a man's mouth.
No.
Yeah, I don't lie.
You want to be that man's mouth, don't you?
No, afraid
yeah,
not.
Do.
I was going to ask you, though, because me and Uncle Bill just a while ago were talking about this movie I picked up at a pawn shop. Ooh. And it's a Scream Factory movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's probably horrible, but for a dollar, I had to get it. It was the DVD of Dead Souls that was brought out, I guess, in 2013 from Scream Factory.
Dead Souls.
Dead Souls. It was.
Oh, is that the one with Julianne Moore?
No. I think Bill Moseley's in this.
Oh, well, shit. Who knows how good that. I'd never even heard of that one.
It was a Chiller. I think it debuted on Chiller or something like that.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
Well, I mean, hell, it might be worth.
It's like sci-fi.
Might be worth a dollar.
Okay. Might be. I mean, it's a cheap coaster.
Whatever, Steve.
I didn't know your collection's so massive you don't have room anymore.
Being a negative Nancy. Well, when I see things that's interesting like that, I pick it up.
Oh, you pick it up.
For a buck. I mean, come on.
Well, I got the new Countess Dracula from Synapse Blu-ray.
Cool. How does that look?
I haven't watched it as of yet. We'll watch it this weekend.
Are you excited about the upcoming, we were talking about the upcoming Blu-ray that they're releasing of Curtains. Are you excited about that release?
Yeah, absolutely. I heard how, you know, I guess I heard how colorful it is and stuff like that. And, of course, the only thing you see now is the VHS or VHS rip. It's
right.
Really drab and washed out. So I can't wait to see something. See the movie how it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, I mean, that one, and you got Prom Night, and you got Suspiria. Yeah. All three of those coming up.
Bam, 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 bam.
Forthcoming. I want to talk to Don and see if he can give me an answer on a release date for Suspiria. Is that going to come out this year, or is he going to...
Well, it sounds like he's still working on Prom Night.
Yeah, so it'll
be... So, I don't think it's... I mean... Unless that's immediately following this, it's going to be a close call. I mean, I don't know how much time he needs to replicate it and you know, all that kind of stuff, because he's still going frame by frame and, I guess, picking out the dirt and all and the scratches and stuff on the Prom Night print.
Yeah. I think he could do a digibook release, though, of Suspiria.
Oh, well, fuck.
Make a limited edition, you know. I mean, they did the steelbook thing, but I'd go one step beyond with the digibook release. Maybe include the soundtrack.
What's your favorite, steelbook or digibook?
I actually like the digibook a little bit better. I like them both, but I don't know. What about you?
I'm kind of... I guess if it makes it look more like a book, like, and have, like, little pages of stuff inside of it, I think the Jaws one, I got Dana, has that. I kind of like those more than steelbooks, but, you know.
Well, the thing with steelbooks, too, is... Especially if you have to order them online, like that's a risk, man, because you never know how it's going to arrive to you. Cause I mean, you know how the mail people are and those things are kind of fragile too.
Well, actually I got Dana, a Canadian, version steelbook Blu-ray of, From Dusk Till Dawn.
Well, that's cool.
I heard it was a better transfer and I was looking and he had this ultimate edition of, From Dusk Till Dawn. It's like in this big box that comes with shot glasses and cards and all that, but that's you know well over $50, and it's like limited to 2,000. But yeah, I just like eh. Dana's not worth that.
That's mean, Steve.
She told me that. She just sitting there looking at me.
Anyway, we are going to open up the phone lines and see who we have in store. This week, it's been, what, 2 or 3 weeks since we last took phone calls. Hopefully, there's more people that call in than the last one. But we're going to try to start doing these on more of a regular basis. So, here we go. You were on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian and the B-Plan. Who's this?
Oh, this is Jeremy, a.k.a. Slagoth.
What's going on, Slagoth?
Ew.
What's up, guys, man? Oh, my God, I've been trying to get through for the last couple shows, man.
Well, I'm glad you got through. What's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Honestly, I saw what you guys had posted, and you were talking about Evil Dead 2, the remake, which I actually have heard nothing about. I'm very curious about that. And first off, I just want to say, I love your show. I've been listening to it since the John Carpenter interview, which is, like, out of control. You guys are amazing. And, I don't know, talk about Evil Dead 2, the remake. I've not heard anything about this. What are they saying about this?
Well, the story is the director from the Evil Dead from last year, Fede Alvarez, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He was interviewed recently, about, you know, what are the possibilities people want to know, because the Evil Dead remake was so successful in the theater, and I enjoyed the film. I know some people, it's kind of hit or miss with some people.
I loved it.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I think, like I was saying earlier, I think it's one of those movies that shows you where the horror genre could be, you know, if they were given the reins, you know, if the right people were given the reins to do what they wanted to do. But he's basically saying that he's in communication with Sam Raimi. Sam Raimi's working on the Army of Darkness sequel, which I don't know what I don't know what the deal is with that. I'm hoping Bruce will be back for that. But you know, they're going to do Evil Dead 2, but they're waiting for the right ideas and all that to come together. So hopefully, in the next couple of years, we will see that. I know that Steve. You didn't really like the movie that much, though, did you, the Evil Dead remake?
I don't know. I mean, I think, Dana was saying, if it was called something else, it might have been a little bit more in my – better in my eyes. But, I mean, there's certain parts of it I really liked. I don't know. I haven't – I found a fan edit online that I haven't watched where they kind of edit it. I guess either to make it take out a few elements and make it a little bit more straightforward or something like that. So I'll probably give it another chance.
I got to tell you guys, you know, I have a 16-year-old daughter, right? And she's pretty tame, and you know, she has a boyfriend. He's a good kid. And one night I came home and they had that thing on, and the guy had the Blu-ray, and they put it on, and it was blaring. You know, I had the sound up, And I just looked at him. My daughter, you know, she was freaked out. Now, I left. I was like, all right, you know, let them watch this thing and see what the response is, because they wouldn't watch the original. I was like, guys, check this out. This is, you know, I was like 9 when I saw the original, and I was living in Connecticut in the woods, and it was, you know, it shook me up pretty good.
Right.
Well, the next day, she wasn't even talking about it. I was like, hey, what'd you think of the movie? She was like, I don't want to talk about it.
Hmm.
I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk about it. She was, you know, so, in the, you know, we're jaded, you know, I'm almost 40. That's how I am. But, you know, it's like, it shook her up pretty good. And I'm like, you know what? It did its job for this generation. Pretty hardcore film. It wasn't like the PG-13 shit that we get. And, like I said, she wouldn't even talk to me about it. To this day, won't even talk to me about it.
Right.
I won't talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, I think the genre needs more movies like that. I mean, I just think that
it didn't hold back. It didn't hold back. Right. Guys? I'm sorry.
And that's what horror films should do. I mean, there should be no restrictions on that. I would love to see more just over the top, gratuitous stuff. You know, gory, just crazy, bloody. You know, decapitations, and
yeah. We
need that. I mean, I think that makes the movie's more fun, and it definitely shocks the younger audiences who aren't really used to that sort of thing. So
no, they've been pussified. They've been pussified by
exactly.
You know, the last. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, everything that comes out. I just for the first time watched The Conjuring. I've not seen that film, and I watched it the other night on Blu-ray.
Right.
And I was like, man, well, that's a pretty good film. And you talked about, I think, Wes, at one point, you had said it would be cool to see a series of film about the Warrens. And I'm like, God damn. After seeing that, I'm like, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, let's see a series of that. Just, you know, you don't have to do the sequel to The Conjuring. Let's see their take on the Amityville from their point of view.
Right.
Or whatever, you know. God damn.
Yeah, I think that they are, I think they're going to do another Conjuring. I think that's the idea. I mean, I don't know if they've really went forward with it yet. I know.
Well, I heard there was some kind of lawsuit going on for some reason between somebody who owns the case files other than the Warren lady, and they're kind of in filed a lawsuit against them. So I don't know. I'm sure there's other stuff they can. Maybe they'll fictionalize some stories. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the Warren lady. Come on, let's. You know, she's got one foot in the grave, one on the battlefield. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, she's not really the one doing the lawsuit. There's some other group of people who somehow have control over the case files. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely think though that'd be a great idea. I mean, there's so many different stories they could go with the Warrens, and you know,
they
would
have that whole room, right? They had the whole room,
right.
Of just artifacts and just oh my god!
I think it'd be great.
A spinoff movie with that haunted doll,
right?
That's supposed to be one that's coming out.
Yeah, and
what do you guys think? The doll, was that like the Chucky child doll? I mean, like that I was like looking at it, and it was creepy, but I'm like, what did that come from? Because it looked like a reject from the, you know, like the Chucky Spawn or, you know, one of those dolls. Like, it was like we'd seen it before, but it was frightening as hell. I was like, that's fucked up, you know?
It's more frightening than the original. The original's just a Raggedy Ann-looking doll.
I think the original's kind of creepy-looking, too,
yeah.
Though. Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, Raggedy Ann, I mean, you know, my wife works for a preschool down here in Florida, and I go in there and I clean the school for them on the weekends, and there's, like, 3 Raggedy Ann dolls. Raggedy Ann and Andy are just sitting there. And out of nowhere, for no reason, maybe it's because I'm, like, vacuuming, another doll will just start talking. I'm not joking. Like, I'm like, God damn. Like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Like, kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely, though, I'd love to see them get Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga back. And, you know, definitely.
Oh, yeah, they were awesome.
Yeah, they were great in that role. And I think that that'd be a good series of movies. You know, The Conjuring definitely made enough money to warrant a sequel. So.
Oh, it was really good. I mean, I was like, you know, I was sitting there with my neighbor, you know, he put it on one night, and I didn't get to finish watching it. We were sipping on a little whiskey, and I'm like, I gotta go home, you know. And then I decided, like, let me rent it, and let me sit and watch the thing, and, you know, I was freaked out, man. I mean, I went to sleep, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was definitely, I enjoyed the hell out of that movie. I think I think we voted that was our favorite movie last year, too, horror movie-wise.
Yeah, it was mine.
Yeah.
It was really good. I've still not seen Insidious, though. And for some reason, they only have Insidious 2 on Netflix, and you guys keep bashing it.
Oh,
and I'm
man.
Like, well, I'm gonna see the first one, which you guys loved, and I'm like, fuck, why isn't the first one on there, you know?
Yeah, Insidious 2 was like a huge letdown for me because I loved the first movie, and it was the only occasion in recent memory I can remember that a movie kind of got to me in the theater, kind of freaked me out a little bit. And but yeah, I mean the sequel is just a total, like, it just seems totally forced, and some people love it, but not me, man. I thought that it was weak.
I mean Steve even said, like, him and his mom were sitting there screaming at the first one, and I'm like, I gotta see this film, and I gotta go rent it, you know, or something. I haven't bought it, you know. I've been buying, you know me, you guys know, I've been buying all the superhero shit. You know, Wes, I talked to you on Facebook, and I said, this is the Man of Steel stuff, you know, and you're just like, you know, but I love the superhero stuff. And before I get off the phone, I know you guys get more callers, but you guys are amazing. I love you both. And I got to tell you, I will finish that piece of art because, I worked on it pretty hard, and I want to get it to you guys. And I would love to make a shirt out of it, but, you know, I'm going to get it to you probably in the next 2 weeks. So
cool.
Anyway, cheers. And keep going, man. You guys rock. I love the show. I've been listening for years, and keep it up, man.
All right, Jeremy, man, we appreciate you calling, and thanks for all the comments and stuff like that. It really means a lot, dude. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
You rock. You both rock. I love it. And Uncle Bill's the man, too, dude. I miss him as well. So, cheers.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Bye.
Take care.
See ya. Well, that was I remember him from Facebook, though. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a good fella. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of, I know that, sorry about that, I have some,
technical difficulties.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Having some technical issues, Stephen Lee B. But, yeah, Jeremy's a really cool guy. I have him on Facebook, and he's always really supportive and stuff. So, but James, what I was going to say though, James Wan, I think he recently announced that Insidious Chapter 3, I think.
Yeah.
Who's directing that? They announced the director. I can't, it's one of his buddies. Got the director.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't think I would want to go back and at least see it in the theater because after the second one, it was just like, I remember watching it, it was just like, you know, you're just sitting there and there's like images on the screen. It just very seemed lifeless to me.
Right.
After the first one. So who do you blame on that? I mean, I don't know who wrote the story, but they're just like, you're just taking a good picture of something, and then you expand it out. Now you're seeing all the little pixels, and you also seeing all the holes in between the images. And that's kind of like what that story, they just took it and blew it up and then kind of explained everything. And some things don't need explaining.
I know. I mean, I think that, like, I guess with a movie like that, there's not a whole lot else you can do. I mean.
No, I mean, what else could, I mean, I think he could have done something different, but I think the third one is not going to be with the same people. I think it was going to be a separate, another family.
That's what I would do.
That sounds like a direct DVD sequel to me.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I can't remember if Insidious 2 did that well. I know it didn't do as well as the first film, but.
Right.
I can't remember. So.
Well, hell, I was crazy about this, that one movie, Divergent, that new movie came out, and this disappeared, and I was on IMDb, and it's already made $150 million. I was like, who's, it must be from overseas. I just don't see how anybody's fucking watching that movie.
Yeah, I hear.
Put the needle on the record.
Through the wind. Yeah, I need to get this damn thing fixed or something.
Don't you got electrical tape?
I need it. That's what I need, some duct tape.
Yeah.
I don't even use electrical tape.
Anything.
Yeah. So, we're going to open up the phone lines again if somebody will call. So, We did have a couple other callers call in while we were on there with Jeremy.
Jeremy spoken in class today.
Jeremy spoken clear today.
I saw the new Spider-Man.
Did you? I hear a lot of people saying it's great.
I don't know about great, but it was okay.
Better than the first one. I didn't like the first one.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Didn't like the first one.
Nah.
Yeah, and I think they've already scheduled, the third and the fourth one?
Yeah, but I think the director and, what was his name, Andrew Garfield's only signed for the third one, or maybe the third one and the fourth one, or something like that. But
is he going to do, though? He don't do anything else.
Right. They were on Saturday
I think
Live.
That's why they hired a guy like that. He don't have any other acting gigs. We have another phone call coming in, though. Let's add it to the group call here. Hello, you are on Dead Pit Radio with Creepy Kentucky and the B-Plan. Who's this?
This is Brian, boss.
What's going on, boss?
Oh, nothing much. Watching ECW, barely legal.
On the WWE Network?
Yep.
Yeah, the only thing, though, about the ECW stuff that kind of... I mean, I know they can't pay for all that shit. It's just the music. Like, they had to change most of it. That's kind of annoying, but...
Yeah.
And I think that's why they took all the New Jack matches off, pretty much, or most of them, because, you know, New Jack used music throughout the whole match.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got to say, this WWE Network's been, like, the best idea WWE's had in, like, 5 years.
Yeah, I think that they are a little concerned, though, with, like, the amount of subscribers they have, because there seem to be... You know, they're already doing the gift certificate thing or whatever at WWE Shop. So I'm just hoping it lasts, man. I mean, I hope they make enough money to keep it going. But, yeah, I agree.
I think they made, like, $80 million out of it. So, but, I mean,
well,
I think it's
I hear it costs quite a bit to for the upkeep and all that, though.
I mean, yeah, but still, it's a lot less than what it would be if they were on a traditional cable or satellite.
True.
Just bought your documentary Into the Pit, the shocking story of Dead Pit.
How shocking was it?
It was freaking awesome. Probably the best movie ever made, boss.
Oh?
Well, I appreciate that. Although we didn't make the movie, we were just kind of documented in it. So it was told by a man from Wisconsin, had Uncle Bill going across creeks and you know, all that good shit. To get to my house to record the show. He was going to get him... The deleted scene, Uncle Bill was in a kayak, you know, in the intro. But I'm glad you liked it, man. A lot of people have emailed us and over the years about that movie and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's worth every penny, boss. I'd like to see a sequel to it.
Yeah. Out of the Pit. That would be the sequel, I guess. Or we could do a prequel. We could do a dramatization.
I gotta be in it this time.
Well, you'd have to be in it, Steve. You kind of replaced Uncle Bill.
We wouldn't have Uncle Bill, and you could have him like you go to his house and have his face blurred out because he didn't give permission to be in it. Stuff like that.
That's true. Now, I don't even talk to Kelly hardly anymore. Last time I talked to him, he was trying to sell me a bunch of those DVDs to resell, you know. But,
you get Rob Zombie to direct the sequel.
That's true. Well, it would have to have Bill Moseley and Sid Haig and all those guys in it, though, too. And Sherry Moon would have to show her ass in it. So as long as I can be in the scene, as long as I can be in the scene where she shows her ass, and I'll do it, no doubt.
Maybe she'll ride like a unicorn naked across the screen.
Yeah, that's true. Make her play Love Hurts. By Nazareth.
Well, she strips on the unicorn horn, going around it like a pole.
Yeah. But speaking of Rob Zombie, though, we were talking earlier about Halloween 3, that, you know, that it's come out that they're going to move forward with Halloween 3. Can you see Rob Zombie actually coming back to direct that? I can. I actually can. I think that it'll probably happen, too.
Because they'll offer him a deal where they'll make whatever two movies he wants. If he does this, and it's like, I hope not.
Mark my words, man. I guarantee you he's going to be directing that.
Well, I guarantee you I won't go see it.
I bet you fucking will.
No.
So what do you guys think of the 8th? Wait, is it the 8th or the 7th Chucky film that's supposed to be coming out like next year?
Oh, the new Chucky film. I'm all for it. I enjoyed Curse of Chucky for what it was. I thought it was a fun little.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I heard the new one's supposed to be in an asylum.
It'd probably be with Brad Dourif's daughter in it then, if they're going to be in an asylum.
Yeah, like she's trapped, like she's like they put in a mental asylum, and like Chucky's there, like killing the inmates and trying to get her.
Do you think Alex Vance is going to be in it?
I hope so, because I thought that was just freaking awesome, like having him, like if that little cameo they did for him in there. I thought that was pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, the only thing is, I don't know, you know, I mean, he hasn't really done any big-time acting in a long freaking time, so I don't know how he would do, you know, in a big role like that. But I would like to see it.
He'd bring back Tiffany as a doll, damn it.
I'm sure they will. I mean, because there's only, you know, the last one was more like an old school Chucky film or Child's Play movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'm sure they will. I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, but where the fuck was Glenn at, boys?
I don't think anybody wants to see Glenn anymore.
Glenn.
Little fucking British little bastard.
Or Glinda, you know.
Yeah, he could be a transgender doll.
Yeah, maybe he could be full-blown she-male now, you know, with a wig and all that shit.
We got this transgender at my work. It's freaking creepy.
Dude, I saw one. Okay, here, and I know this is un-PC, but fuck it. I mean, when did it become, like, acceptable to not, like, it's wrong. You cannot, like, just say, God, is that a man? You know, and people are, like, totally, be quiet. You shouldn't say that, you know. But seriously, like, I mean, you know, it's fine if you're gay or whatever. You know, I've accepted Steve over the years. That's fine.
Thank you.
But the thing is like, okay, and the way my stance on this always is, you're never going to be a woman, regardless. You know, you can fucking banana split your dick, whatever else. That's just going to make you a fucking freak. Like, that's just my opinion. What do you think about that, Steve?
Yeah.
I don't know about banana splitting, but, I mean, it reminds me of when I was at Walmart like 20 years ago, and there was this 6'5" person dressed up like Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians, and it was just a dude in drag, and I was like freaking out. I was like, here we are in a little small town in Kentucky, and here's this person wearing a dress and got like a big old fur thing around her neck, and I was like, that has to be a guy, but what the fuck? Why would a guy even, if you're going to dress up like a woman, why would you dress up? It's not Halloween. I don't know why you would dress up like Cruella de Vil, but I mean, I don't.
People.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, it's whatever, but definitely it's a strange situation.
Yeah,
I know a couple of years ago, there was actually somebody in Prestonsburg that was like that. They would like flaunt, you know, walk the streets and kind of flaunt, you know, being a fucking she-male or whatever.
Yeah, but so. She's not my work, freaking talking about her imaginary vagina. I'm creepy.
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought that was extremely strange. That was just me, but, you know, that even creeps out the creepy Kentuckians.
If you want to see watch a movie, there's a good movie from Synapsis called Let Me Die a Woman about this very subject, so I suggest everybody go rent that or buy it.
Are you on...
I'm trying to watch.
Yeah.
I think Steve is on Synapse payroll or something. You've pimped Synapse out quite a bit on here, Steve.
Well, I'm just waiting for Don May to start sending me screeners.
I got two more questions, then I'll leave you guys be, all right?
All right, buddy.
All right. First, have you seen the movie American Mary?
I have.
I haven't. What's it about, Steve?
Oh, my gosh. CK, you got to go see it, man. It's, like, one of the most oddly, like, just disturbing films. Like, it's amazing.
I've heard a lot of people. I know it was on Netflix. I don't know if it still is.
I think it is.
To me, it felt like one of those movies you used to rent from the video store in the mid-90s and watch it it had that kind of feel, I guess, because it's probably made in Canada, and I don't know. It was okay for a watch, but to me, it just didn't seem like. It seemed like it started with a premise about this body modification, and then that really didn't. It didn't go all the way. It just kind of went part of the way, and then basically the movie was over. I mean, I liked it up to that point, but I mean, it's just like kind of a fast food kind of thing. When you eat it, you forget it. But I mean, it's got some good stuff in it, and I like to see what those twins do with the Kane movie that's coming out.
Yeah, have they filmed that yet, or what's the deal with that?
I haven't heard anything, to be honest. I heard that they met with Kane, but not they might have filmed it. I don't know if Kane's been away that long to film a movie yet.
It's a really good movie. You got to check it out, Wes, anytime you have. Like, watch on Netflix if you can, because it's one of those unique one-time appearances. You got to watch it.
I'll definitely have to check that out.
And my last question is, like, where do you think the Wyatt family's going? Do you think they're going to be, like, the biggest, the new, like, you think they're going to be up to, like, the Undertaker status? Like Bray Wyatt's going to be the new Undertaker, what?
I mean, who knows? It just depends on how well they want. They're kind of letting him do what he wants to do, from what I understand. I mean, he does have to go through a script writer, but I think that most of the stuff is from him. So it just depends on how far they want to go with it. I mean, I think that it has the potential to explode even further, and he could be one of the biggest draws in the last, you know, 10 years or so if they do right. Yeah, because he's just...
I just hope they do.
Go ahead.
I just hope they do him right, though. Like, I think he should have beat John Cena at WrestleMania personally. Because, I mean, losing your first WrestleMania match...
Mm-hmm.
Right, I hear you. But, I mean, I think that the John Cena thing's going to last up until probably SummerSlam, at least. So,
to God that they turn Cena heel or do something with him fresh. Like, I mean, he's been doing the same training for 10 years now. It's time for a change. Like, make him join the Wyatt family, shit.
Yeah, I honestly think, I think Cena, like, they're kind of, you know, this is probably one of the last big programs he's going to do. I can actually see him kind of, because they're doing it already a little bit. I mean, he wasn't on Raw at all, and he hasn't really done a whole lot on Raw lately. And I think that they're trying to, you know, let some of these new guys like Daniel Bryan and, you know, Bray Wyatt and The Shield and all those guys kind of carry his load, what he was doing. And I can kind of see him over the next year or two kind of getting phased out pretty much completely because, I mean, he's not going to be able to do that forever. I mean, he's getting a little older now, and he's, like you were saying, he's been doing this for over 10 years, been pretty much the top guy the entire time. So I think it's time for definitely some new blood up there. And it seems the WWE's letting him go now finally, which I think is great. I mean, The Shield, man, the stuff they're doing, every match they're in is amazing, you know?
Oh,
so.
Definitely. I think Roman Reigns should have won the Royal Rumble, not Bautista.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that they're doing the slow build with Roman Reigns. It seems like they're going to keep The Shield together for a while yet. So they kind of phased out that.
Give them another year, and then the rest of May after that, they do a triple threat match for the title.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, even I know me and Jason on the WrestleManiacs thing, we were talking about I don't even think they really have to break The Shield up. I mean, I would kind of make them more along the lines of like the Four Horsemen or something where they can have their singles matches and they can wrestle in tag team matches as well. I think that that'd be cool, you know, be something different. And all those guys have the potential of being really, really, you know, big top stars, I think.
Right on.
And I'd like to be a part of that if you need an extra guy or whatever.
Yeah, sure, man. Just, message me on Facebook, and whenever we do another one, I'll send you an invite.
You can nice. You can have a spot. You can have my spot.
Yeah, because Steve fucking, he goes to bed at like 8:30, so he usually
I think it's not a party at the B-plan, boss.
No, old man needs some sleep. The sun goes down, I got to go to bed.
Steve has only done maybe what? How many of those WrestleManiac shows have you done? Maybe one or two?
Two, I think.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, I mean, every time, like, all the pay-per-views and stuff, we definitely try to do a live, you know, just message me. And we'll add you on, man, because it's been really good so far. I mean, all the people that we've had on, they've all done really good, I think, so.
All right. I'll make sure to do that, Bull.
All right, buddy. Well, we appreciate you calling in, and definitely whenever we do these call-ins again, callbacks, always good to talk to you.
I definitely will, boss. Appreciate it.
All right, see you, boss.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, see, Steve, the guy was nice. I appreciate the phone calls and stuff, but you got to use bulls in moderation. To give it its effectiveness.
Well, we don't want to wear the word out yet. It's still kind of,
yeah,
in, you know, out there. Not like, what was the last one you were doing? Law. Is that? I think that's done far enough and flew away.
Well, at least on the show, I still use it in day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Or Kjarn. You remember Kjarn?
Yeah, Kjarn.
So, yeah. But it's always.
My mom knows what that is.
Yeah, the thing is, like, people in this area, like, they use that word all the fucking time, Kjarn.
Yeah.
God, that's nastier than Kjarn, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's not a new word anywhere, nope. You know, in eastern Kentucky or probably central Kentucky either, right? Central western Kentucky.
Yeah, that's an old-time word.
Which is actually a word, if you look it up, K-Y-A-R-N, urban... Something urbandictionary.com, yeah, or something like that.
You so can, it's culo.
I don't even know what that is.
You said lick my culo.
That's what you said on your show.
You know what? That's it's Spanish for ass.
The Two Against Podcast with Steve and Dana.
That's Two Against the Culo.
Yeah. We should probably do a commercial for you guys so we can air it on Dead Pit sometime.
Yeah, I think me and Dana will do that this weekend or something.
Yeah, do your commercial up. And also, before we get off here, because I don't think anybody else is calling in, Steve. So.
Well, that's cool. You don't need to, you know, get the good stuff.
That's right. I thought we were going to have a surprise caller, but maybe that'll happen next time. Anyway, new Dead Pit website I talked about a little bit earlier. It's going to be debuting in the fall. And, you know, Jeremy earlier was talking about the John Carpenter show. That'll be one of the shows that'll be included on there, as well as the George Romero show. You know, we had Tom Savini on years ago, Felissa Rose, Tiffany Shepis, Linnea Quigley, Angus Scrim, you know, Catriona McCall from the Fulci films.
Yeah, she was in France or something, right?
Yeah, we actually called her in France. I had bought Skype time because we got hooked up through her agent to give her a call, and she was all excited about it and everything.
Wow,
and we were too.
That's nice.
So.
She's a very nice lady. You've met her, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've got hundreds and hundreds of radio shows. And we're going to have a donate button on the main page of Dead Pit so you can start sending in your donations so we can put all these old shows back up on the new website that's debuting in the fall. So that link will be up on the website. Aren't you excited about that, Stephen Lee?
I think you should do like a video like Vince McMahon did on the WWE Network and go in a, you know, where he welcomes you to the WWE Network.
Welcome to the new DeadPit.com. You'll notice here at Dead Pit that all of the old shows are now back in the archives.
No, you could do like Sonny Landham, and then and of course finish it with your laugh.
No, you got to start it and finish it with a laugh. Hello, welcome to Dead Pit Radio. I'm Sonny Landham. Give us your goddamn money.
So. Feel free. It's my damn brother.
Let me tell you something, Philip Ree. You ain't no damn Michael Dudikoff, buddy.
No.
He's a real martial artist.
He's a real.
He's a. How's it going? I was going to say, Michael Dudikoff is a real martial artist. He ain't no damn China.
Well, he ain't no Korean.
Whatever he is, I prefer Michael Dudikoff as a martial art cinematographer.
Cinematographer.
Or something or another. Somebody get me a Bud Light.
Give me a Bud Light Lime, please.
Golly. I'm fucking thirsty over here. Supposed to be your guest of honor at the Fright Night Film Fest. Golly.
It's me and Robert Zadar.
there's a new movie with, it's called You, Me, and Philip Reeve. That'd be killer. That's a new movie. You, Me, and Philip Reeve. Son of Land.
I'm doing a Philip Reeve movie.
Philip Reeve's not my damn brother. He's a Chinaman. I'm a fucking Indian here.
We're enemies in this movie.
So, yeah, we might have a Sonny Landham promotional Kickstarter video or something like that.
Yeah, well,
that'd be good.
Big Abner coming at you.
Big Abner, you can see my big Peter. It's a bacon.
It's a bacon, and I'm chopping wood, and I'm chopping some chick's ass with my Peter.
Lord, this show's went downhill quick, boss. But anyway, I think that is it, Steve. I'm going to go ahead and end the call-in portion. We had some lengthy calls, but, yeah, I mean, we probably need to promote these call-ins a little bit better, this time, you know, or next time whenever we do it. But, what I'm going to announce for next week, unless something comes up, but everything should be okay.
Uh-huh.
Next week we are doing Dead Pit Live. Again,
well,
live on YouTube, 10 p.m. on Friday night. And so everybody stay tuned to the YouTube page or the Facebook Universe page for all that. We are doing Dead Pit Live number 2. So, and this is going to be one of the many new things that we're going to be offering on Dead Pit. So it'll be
fun. It's not a pay-per-view. It's a special event.
It is. It's a special event on YouTube. We signed a new YouTube contract, so we're going to be on there for the next couple of years at least.
Yeah, until we get ready to see how things are out there. Maybe we can get on another channel.
Indeed, reevaluate our situation.
Yep.
So we got that next week, so definitely everybody tune in live for that. May have some buddies joining us on that as well. You can never tell with Uncle Bill if he'll join us or not, but, you know, I'll try to get, you know, Steve will hopefully be on there, and I'll be on there, and we'll get a couple other friends on there. So,
yeah.
Have fun talking about some horror. But anyway, until then, I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Paul Roma.
And you've been listening to the number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated ballers and shock callers of Horror Talk Radio since 2005. Can you believe that?
No.
Deadbeard.com,
by God.
Pick your poison. It ain't my fault. Coldwater River. More like a swamp. I see that scene. I hear that voice. Hearts and flowers. My drugs of choice. Boy, don't ever think you're alone. You keep the company. Oh, great ghost. And they never, ever, ever leave your side. They fight off the stillness when it kills you inside. The rain fell hard.
I wore that boot till it didn't fit. I broke the map out, followed the clues, went on a mission for the Avalon Blues. Boy, don't ever think you're alone.
Mercedes Benz.